So the readings today refer to how much the Lord's wisdom surpasses our own human categories of value and judgment. The prophet Isaiah exhorts his people to search actively for the Lord. He reminds his people that the Lord's way is not obvious to us and need to be sought while we have the opportunity. And Paul shows us the spirit of true Christian service. He would prefer to be with Christ, but he knows that his present work in the vineyard is more necessary for your benefit. And Matthew's gospel presents us with a parable that demonstrates to us the difference between our spontaneous judgments and God's ways. From the earlier laborer's point of view, if we do more, our natural reaction is to claim more for ourselves than the latecomers who do less. The parable reminds us that service in God's vineyard is selfless. It is God's will and wisdom to save all who want to work, and that should be also be our intention. Our work, if truly done for the love of God and the salvation of others, is rewarded by the latecomer's entrance into the kingdom. That is our wage. The fact that we are rankled by the Lord's generosity is a sign of our self-centeredness, which clouds our judgment from discovering the Lord's ways. God himself, of course, is the generous landowner in the parable, and the lesson he wants us to learn is that his generosity goes beyond our wildest comprehension. This is why the first reading, God tells us, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways." To pay the hired workers a full day's wage for only a few hours' work is the epitome of generosity. There is no other reason for it. He does it simply because he is generous, he is deeply concerned about these men, and capable of helping them, and so he does. Think about this for a minute. God continually goes out to the people, offering them salvation all day, not just early in the morning or one time, but consistently throughout the day. He wants us to be close to him. He wants us to be saved. As you may know, Palestinian workers, day laborers at that time, had no steady work and no steady income. They were hired on a day-to-day basis, and the workers still waiting late in the day were proudly resigned to another hungry evening for themselves and their families. Only a man with a truly generous heart would take the trouble to put them to work with only an hour remaining till sundown. And only a truly extraordinary generous man would pay them the full day's wage. That's God, the extraordinary landowner. The history of salvation is the story of his boundless giving. First he gives life, then he gives hope for salvation, then with the incarnation he gives redemption, and finally, to those who faithfully work in his vineyard according to his will, heaven. And it doesn't stop there. Strictly speaking, we deserve none of those gifts. And yet the landowners gives the laborers real work to do in his vineyard, even if the reward far outweighed the work. Christ, too, allows us to make a real contribution to the eternal happiness of ourselves through prayer, sacrifice, and self-service. Excuse me. Self-sacrifice and service. Whoops. God is the font of generous love. He allows us to make a real contribution to the eternal happiness of ourselves and our neighbors through loving him, serving others, and building up the church. In Christ, our actions really do have meaning. We are members of his mystical body. We are his hands, feet, eyes, and mouth. When we serve those around us, we are serving Christ and storing up an eternal treasure in heaven. When we stay faithful to the Christian principles, even under pressure, humiliation, and persecution, we are glorifying God and adding to our heavenly reward. And when we help others come closer to Christ through our words, prayers, and example, we are increasing the everlasting joys of heaven for them and for us. This is the privilege Christ has generously given us by making us his fellow workers in God's kingdom. This concept of fairness, which the people in the parable are saying is not being observed, is a very understandable position. But what has been made apparent to me as I studied this gospel is that the people who labor in the heat of the day, the all-day worker, are missing out on something, and it is this. They think that the spiritual life, or one's relationship with God, is all about the notable things one has achieved, by which God ought to be impressed. But the truth is, God is not likely to be bowled over by our human accomplishments. The service we do today is not a bill we will later offer to God. It is a gift to us, like everything else. When the parable of the vineyard was first told, it probably referred to the pious people who felt left out or cheated because Jesus was welcoming slobbering sinners and nasty tax collectors to the table and to the reign of God. When Matthew wrote the parable, it was probably told because good Christian Jews resented the fact that they were newcomers, converted Gentiles, who were given equal status in the Christian community. But today we need to know that this parable is not about fair wages or justice. It's about grace. It's about a God whose ways are not our ways, whose thoughts are not our thoughts. It's about an invitation that God extends to everyone, not just those who feel entitled to special treatment. It's about grace extended to all. Amen.